40.
Queenie, stop beating people with your spoon, I said, as the Ant Queen whacked yet another of the Blue Palm Clan on the back of the head with her large wooden spoon.
But, Master,
she pleaded as she looked up at me mid-whack.
They keep slurping the soup.
She whacked her own palm with the butt of the spoon.
And the soup is not to be slurped.
She looked at Jorna for support.
Her punishment is far better than the one I would employ.
The old woman cackled ominously. That is true, Garrett, Thera added next to me. The spoon is far, far better.
But you shouldn't hit people, I said with a huff.
I, for one, think we should be able to enjoy our soup however we like, Denno said, with his mouth full of soup, causing it to dribble down his face.
Unacceptable,
Queenie cried, before whacking him with her fork, which, to her credit, wasn't her spoon.
I give up, I said, as Thera hugged me.
It's for the best, she said, as I returned my attention to my own meal. It was definitely something I hadn't expected. It had started as a mixture of various dried ingredients that Jorna had put into bowls. Then she had ladled boiling water onto the dish and sprinkled a few herbs on top. The result was a hearty soup that reminded me of the black squid ink ramen I'd once got in Toronto, only without the little hot dogs cut into octopi. The best part was that the rest had done us all good. I'd have been lying if I said that the strain of constantly infusing aura into the Quetzals to keep up their strength hadn't been wearing on me. And despite my high intelligence and the use of tan fruit, I probably wouldn't have lasted much longer. Maybe I could have gone further with the use of another tan fruit, but I was probably also going to have to see my doctor, because my little friend had been at attention for the vast majority of the day, and honestly, it was starting to ache. As much as I wanted to push on, everyone else looked tired. From what Thera had told me when we'd landed, we were still a good 4 hours from the Orange Camp, and then the volcano was another 6 hours after that. Plus, dark would be falling soon, and the last thing I wanted to do was have to land in the middle of the night and have to make camp then. What are your thoughts about staying here for the night? I asked Thera. I don't sense anything with my auric sense, but that doesn't mean there aren't predators here.
This is not the best place to camp, but it is not the worst, Thera hedged. This is Rex territory, which is why I posted sentries around and had them spread the jars.
She gestured at the clay pots spread in a circle around the camp.
It is a mixture of herbs that was designed by Nikotan to mask our scent.
Rex territory? I gasped, as I desperately hoped that it didn't mean what I thought it meant. As in giant two-legged predators with tiny arms and giant teeth that can reach speeds of over 25 miles per hour and have the strongest bite of any known predator ever? I gestured at the clearing. Here?
Yes, Thera nodded. Though I would not be too worried. Rexes are pretty territorial and tend to hang out in mated pairs. Their territory is quite large, and unlike smaller carnivores, of which we won't find, because this is Rex territory, they are not nocturnal.
Interesting, I mused as I thought that over.
While the idea of setting up camp in an area with a pair of colossal predators that stood over 40 feet tall and weighed over 9 tons wasn't exactly appealing, I also liked the idea that it was likely their presence that would keep others away. And with our scents masked, hopefully, we wouldn't get eaten by anything. You know what? If you think it will be okay, I'm going to allow it. I think it will be okay to rest for a few hours and then leave, yes. She looked at the sky. We should definitely be ready to leave by first light, though. That is why I will have the Quetzals packed and ready to go before we bed down for the night. Her expression turned serious then. We do not want to have to fight a Rex. If we do, it is likely many will die, especially if both show up.
I agree with all of that, especially the not fighting a Rex thing,
I said seriously, as I mentally relayed everything to Queenie. I then instructed her to summon a bunch of scouts and make damn sure we knew the moment a Rex was anywhere near us.
Would you like me to try to find the pair, Master? Queenie asked. If they are as big as you say, it may not be difficult to find them. Then, I would know if they are on the move.
Actually, that wouldn't be a bad idea. Why don't you see if you can locate them? Then, keep an eye on them. I nodded, though she couldn't see it. Thanks for volunteering. Oh, and if you find anything hot and bright or even slightly warm out there, let me know. After all, if I was Titania and I was watching me, this is when I'd attack.
Of course, Master. I will look for the Fairy Queen as well. It is my greatest desire to keep you safe. I will report back shortly.
With that, she broke communication, and an instant later, I saw her fly up into the sky with Scout under one arm. Thera must have noticed the Ant Queen's ascent, because she pointed at Queenie and nudged me.
What is the Ant Queen doing, Garrett?
She's going to see if she can find the Rexes. Then it will be easier to keep an eye on them, I replied, as Queenie took off in a circle that seemed to spiral ever outward from our camp.
It is good that you have the ability to send someone to look at them who has no fear of death nor the likelihood of experiencing it at their hands.
Thera shivered.
I have only met a Rex in battle once.
She touched a spot on her chest and shut her eyes for a moment, and I realized she was praying.
If I never have to do it again, it will be too soon.
Don't worry about it, I said, as I summoned a few ice spiders to hang out in the area around the camp so they could, theoretically, slow down the Rexes before they attacked. We'll be okay. Part of me believes you, but most of me wishes that you would make us great walls, she laughed. Though that much noise would surely summon the Rexes to us and defeat the purpose.
Well, I mean they are only, what, 40 feet tall?
I rubbed the back of my neck.
I could probably build a wall high enough and strong enough in, a day or two, assuming, of course, no one sang.
We will be long gone by then.
Thera kissed me.
And I think there are better things we can do with our time. No?
She got to her feet and took my hand in hers.
Come. Every moment we have together is a luxury I did not ever think I'd experience, and I will not waste any of it worrying about death. Not when I have something much more enjoyable to be doing.
I hear that, I said, as I let her lead me toward the crude tent she'd had erected near the edge of the encampment. While most of the others in her clan were sleeping either under the cover of the big communal tents she'd had set up or under the stars themselves, Thera had her own tent. And now, I suspected I knew why.
It will be dark soon, Garrett, and we really do need to sleep tonight, so I hope to be good and exhausted by then,
Thera said, as she pulled the flap of her tent back, and I saw the floor was covered with something that looked like a bearskin rug, only from a beaver that must have been man-sized. It made me shiver at the thought of how big the thing's front teeth must have been. "What made that?" I said, as Thera pulled me onto the thick fur. "The rug, I mean."
"It is from a Castroides. It is a large river creature, maybe 2 meters tall, and weighing about 250 or so pounds."
She paused a beat.
"It was what my father gave to my mother when they were joined, to prove that he was a capable provider. It is said that he killed it with his bare hands."
She blushed.
"Admittedly, I brought it to impress you."
"You don't need to impress me, Thera," I said, as I kissed her deeply and fully. "You are one of the most impressive women I have ever known."
"That is the thing,"
she said, as her fingers danced down my chest as they headed lower.
"I am one of the most impressive women, yet you are the most impressive man I have ever known, and I suspect will ever know."
She bit her lip then.
"Know that I am not jealous or possessive, but sometimes I feel inadequate. After all, Queenie can fly."
She shrugged.
I want to be a bit more for you."
"Thera," I said, as I took her chin in my hands and turned her face so I was looking into her eyes. "You are already special to me just by being yourself. You're strong and capable and a great leader." I kissed her deeply. "And you are very, very impressive."